Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. The American Association of University Women in Astoria held a dinner last month to honor the women who served as KMUN managers over the years. They also honored Carol Newman, who has served as a volunteer since the station's beginning in 1983. The evening featured a lot of memories and reminiscences, and we'll hear highlights in today's Human Beat, edited for time. There's also some white noise in the background caused by the evening sound system. The voices you'll hear in order are former manager Lisa Smith, volunteer Carol Newman, former manager Victoria Stapiello, former manager Joanne Rideout, and current manager Susan Peterson. Here's Lisa Smith.
It was a little scary when I first got there because there's no money. There's no money at all. I mean, there's no money at all. It's just really scary. And so, remember? It's so scary.
Yeah, Doug used to skip a paycheck if we didn't have money. But that's not very realistic.
So it was really scary for me. At any rate, I panicked a little bit, but then everything got better. Cindy Price, who's not here, was the manager she was an interim manager after Doug. And so she was there when I got there. She's a good friend still. She's in Florida now with her husband. I don't know what they're doing in Florida. Who goes to Florida anymore anyway? But I mean, the politics are so horrible. But anyway, nice weather though. At any rate, let's see what I was going to talk about. I was going to tell you that one of the great things that I did was I hired Joanne Rideout, because I started the news department. There had been no news there. And so what we did was we got some great people to come to work. John, what was John's last name? Do you remember? John Morris. And Elizabeth? No. Elizabeth Wynn Johnson. Fantastic. So anyway, we got great people to work, including Joanne. Who stayed, and everybody else left, but anyway. Thanks for staying, Joanne.
We got the best.
Yes, we got the best. But anyhow, I'm wandering around, so I'm going to give this to Victoria now.
Okay. I've managed KBO Radio in Portland 3 times over the last 40 years. And when KMUN went on the air, it was as an offshoot of the KBO Foundation. So Lisa got hired, and I heard that she was facing some health difficulties, so I called her up and said, hey, is there anything I can do to help? And Lisa said, well, we job shared. Lisa wrote all the grants and administered them, and I did day-to-day operations.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. And when I look around the room, I see so many faces of the people who have helped make KMUN what it is. So this is really not so much about all of us as it is about all of you who have made this place what it is, because all of us who have been in this leadership role could never have done anything without the help of all these people who made this organization what it is. So, you know, I've thought so much about what to say tonight, and I still have no idea, so I'm just going to talk, which you know I can do. So I came into KMUN about 2002 when I moved to Brownsmead, and my next-door neighbor, Carol Newman, said to me, you should go volunteer at this radio station. So I walked into this Victorian house and met a woman named Elizabeth, and at that moment, they had a desperate need for someone to read bedtime stories on the radio, and I could read. I had a pulse, and so I was in. And so that was how I started on KMUN, and I started out as a volunteer, and eventually when Lisa came on, she hired me as an employee. And you know, I just want to say this about Lisa, that I so loved her presence and her intelligence and her energy. Because we'd have these staff meetings, we'd have news meetings, and I just thought, wow, this gal is really sharp, and she's our manager. And so you're a force of nature, Lisa, and I just wanted to say thank you for hiring me, because you changed my life in the best way, you know, the best way. So At any rate, somewhere along the line, I left KMUN and I went to work for the Coast River Business Journal as a writer. And then this job came open up at KMUN to be the manager. And all my friends said to me, "You have got to be kidding me. You're not going to go be manager of KMUN. That's crazy." But, you know, long story short, the board offered me the job. And I said, well, I can take the job on two conditions, that I do not know how to run a radio station, but I can know how to learn stuff, and I'm pretty smart, and I'll do my best. And I also have a dad that I'm taking care of, because I was caregiving my father at that point. And I said, and if anything happens to him, I'm going to have to drop what I'm doing and run. And if you can accept me on that basis, then I'm your gal, and I'll work really hard for you. And so that opened up a door to me being the manager of KMUN. And it's been kind of a mystery to me that, because we did a lot, we accomplished a lot. I didn't do it alone. There's so many people in this room, Roger among them, you know, Steve Forrester, I see you over there, you know, helped start our news partnership with the Daily Historian. I mean, so many people helped me, because there were so many days when I sat in my chair and went, oh my God, I have no idea what to do next, and other people helped me. So I think KMUN is a perfect example of that, kind of a cliche that it takes a village. But it really, really does. And KMUN is just a fabulous example. And Roger also, Roger's presence on the board kept me from, well, I ran screaming, but I always came back. And so when I first walked into KMUN in 2010, I was manager for 7 years. KMUN was in trouble financially. When you were talking to Lisa about not being scared because there wasn't any money, yeah. I mean, so you could buy either eggs or bread, but not both, you know. And so it was very clear that our mission was to bring in more money, you know, raise people's salaries, because the salaries were really low, and just get the place on its feet financially. And so somewhere along the line, I hired this person, Susan Peterson. It's one of the best things that I ever did, because she is now the manager of KMUN and is just doing a fabulous job. But she was our first full-time development director, and she started bringing in money, which was like, whoa, what an idea.
Bread and eggs.
Yes, bread and eggs, and maybe even a little strawberries sometimes, you know. And so anyway, to make a very long story short, we got KMUN up on its feet, and it's doing much better today. And but before I go into the next thing I want to say, I just want to say to Thron Riggs, who's sitting right there, Thron is the reason why I started the Ship Report. Because I was working the news, I was doing the morning news, and Thron was doing his classical music show. And somebody had said to me, like somewhere along the line, when I saw a ship go by, and I went, whoa. And they said, see that little boat? There's a pilot on there. And at first I thought, I want to do that. And then I thought, you'd have to rewind your entire life, girlfriend, and then you wouldn't do it anyway. But anyway, Thron was there, and he was a bar pilot. And so he just started talking to me about stuff, you know, and he let me pick his brain over and over and over again. He and Robert Johnson over the years just let me interview them to death. And I learned so much, and that really started me on that road. And their kind of stewardship of me, they were so generous with me. They could have just said, you know, whatever. But they were so kind and generous to me that it just made me feel like I could pursue this interest that I'm still doing now. And I still love it as much as the first day that I ever talked to Thron about it. So, I mean, these are the kind of things that community radio can do. You know, people in the community coming out to pursue their interests. And KMUN is full of people like me, you know. One of the wonderful things that I love about what we did at KMUN was we opened up the station to the next generation of younger people. And Susan can talk about that. But, I mean, the next generation of younger people are in KMUN now, and they love it. And for some reason, they just love radio. They think radio is really important, like we do. And I'm so proud of that, to have been part of that story, to hand KMUN off to the next generation has been really rewarding. And I always used to worry that the station was going to kind of die on the vine because we were all getting older and there wasn't a lot of interest. But we made it. So the last thing I want to say is just that the person who took the job after me of manager was Graham Nystrom. And it ended up being that just a sequence of events. I was really burning out after 7 years. And I really didn't think it was acceptable for me to continue to keep such an what I thought was an important community role when I was burning out. So I was looking around for somebody to take over. And Graham showed up, various things happened. He was hired as the operations person. And we switched jobs when our news person left, and I went back into that news role, so what happened was that the pandemic hit. And because Graham was the manager of KMUN during the pandemic, KMUN was able to stay on the air because he is such a tech guy, and he knew exactly what to do. And he knew exactly what equipment to buy. And the fact that he was in that driver's seat when the pandemic hit, and the fact that all of our volunteers who were on the air stepped up and learned how to do their shows remotely, he bought all this fancy equipment and said, you have to learn how to use it, and people did. And I was doing the news live from home, and we all pulled together, and KMUN sounded pretty damn normal considering everything else during all that time. And it was really Graham who did that. And so I know this is about women tonight, but I just want to say that KMUN has always been sort of an organization that seems to find the person it needs at the time. And I was the person who needed to come in and kind of pick everybody up and hug them and say we could keep doing it. And that's what I did. And so I also just want to say thank you to Steve Forrester, because we, because of him and his partnership with us, we were able to do a lot more news than we ever could have done as a tiny radio station. With the partnership we did with the Daily Astorian, we became a place where people could come and really hear local news, and that was because of what you did with us, Steve. So I just want to say thank you very much. And so, anyway, I'll stop talking now, but thank you all.
So radio is, podcasts or, and social media and all those things, but we fit right into that. We, the entertainment and information that we're delving out is important to people, and they're listening and they're tuning in just like they would their favorite podcast or, looking at their, friends on Facebook and stuff. They're listening to their friends on the radio. And I think we made it very easy for people to do because we have an app now. And so anywhere you are, you can plug into KMUN and listen to live programming. You can listen to a podcast of a show. Yeah, great. So I don't see radio as dying. And we have, like Joanne said, young people are flocking to KMUN. It's amazing. Just in the staff, I was the youngest one 11 years ago when I got hired. I'm the oldest one now, and we have a 20-year-old, some 30-year-olds, a couple of 40-year-olds, and me. And it's like, wow, really young people are coming to us, and that's reflected in the programmers too. There's lots of young people doing shows. It's really amazing. And radio in Astoria and Clatsop County is not ever probably going to go away. I think we're here forever. But anyway, I'm Susan Peterson. And yeah, the best thing Joanne ever did was hire me because it changed my life as well.
And hot water.
Oh.
So, can I just tell the hot water story? So, okay, so here I am at KMUN, 10 years? There's no hot water. No hot water. We finally got a little on-demand hot water heater because somebody took pity on us and put it in the downstairs bathroom. But upstairs, so the staff is getting colds, everybody's sick. And Albert, who I love, Albert Smith, of course, so we're down in the basement one day, and there's this hot water heater that's been sitting there, and everybody's been telling me, we can't have hot water, we can't afford it. And I said to Albert, what about the hot water heater? And Albert goes, yeah, it works. Let's turn it on. And I said, what? So I went, bink, and we had hot water. And so that is my other thing that I did that I'm very proud of.
The other thing you did that I'm very proud of you for is hiring a full-time membership director, and that has solved a lot of problems for KMUN. You hired Janet Freiberger as a full-time membership director, and she and our software and their membership is bringing in so much money now that we can buy eggs and bread and strawberries and butter.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So I was the development director for 9 years, and then and in that time, I'll have to say that Joanne asked me many times to step up and be the station manager, and I said, "Are you kidding? No way! It's too scary! It's too scary!" But 2 years ago, when I was asked, it just felt right, and I said yes. And it has been really a dream to be the station manager right now at KMUN. We have a very amazing staff. They're all just self-directing. They're highly motivated. They're turning in really good work. As you can tell, things are changing there. Things are changing for the better. Programming is amazing. I think it's getting better and better. We're hiring Jack Harris as our program director. Has been a dream. He is so good with, he loves to talk to people. So if you're a programmer, Tom, Roger, you're going to have an appointment with with Jack one of these days, and he's going to just talk with you. I've listened into a few of the conversations, and they're just great. So we're all coming together. I think COVID was really hard. It was good, but it was hard because we all like being together, and we weren't together. And I think it caused some problems in our culture, in our, this person said and that person said and all that stuff. And I think that we have worked through a lot of that and are in a very good place right now. I wanted to tell you, any given day, this is what I do. I have staff meetings either with one-on-ones or with the whole staff. I talk to radio engineers. We're moving equipment, south slope translator, stuff like that. There's volunteers calling to say they can't make their show, they can make their show, can they do this, can they do that, I want to help. Talking about projects, we have a lot of projects going on the outside of the house these days, so I'm talking to contractors and vendors. Listeners call quite often to talk about how much they enjoy the programming or when they don't enjoy the programming. Let's see, there's FCC lawyers, et cetera, vendors, but vendors like NPR, the cleaners, our banks. Right now, I am doing the dreaded CPB SCG grant. It's awful. It takes so long. And that was yesterday. Today was all different.
As someone said, Doug was our station manager for 18 years. He took over, he was Harriet's right-hand man because he was an engineer. And I have an image of Doug with the soldering iron after, because we weren't on 24/7. Folk music was 11 to 1. Then there was an afternoon break. Then we came back. And then we went off at night with the fabulous Bedtime Stories for Adults, which was another whole story. First of all, Erica Dorfman, who's been living in Seattle for many years, started A Story Told. That was the name she gave it. Every day, four, she did a half hour reading. Erica has this slightly clipped voice, and it was delightful. It was in the morning, then it was repeated at night. Sylvia Berryman came along with a stronger British accent, and she wrote some of her own stories. Those were nighttime stories only for adults. But Doug would come in when the station was closed, because by then he lived next door, and he would have a soldering iron. He's sitting at this board that we all trained to use, and he's fixing the wires. Like, finished on Tuesday, programmers coming in on Wednesday, everybody was live. Some people, like Thron Riggs, still are, 6 o'clock in the morning every Saturday, thank goodness. So I have someone to call and harass. And And then by the next morning, whatever needed to have been done was done. We're working on that still because we're in an old house and we have equipment, and equipment comes and goes. And it can be very frustrating, but that's part of the whole community deal.
So nobody has talked about Harriet Baskus. So what happened was the KBOO got the license, the construction permit to build KMUN, and four of us drove from Portland down to Astoria, met with a group of people who wanted the station, and on the way home, it was me, Harriet, Dave Kies, I think Michael O'Rourke was now passed on. Anyway, we're driving home and pounding rainstorm and saying, well, these people are really great, but they don't know anything about radio. And what are we going to do? You know, we've got this construction permit that we have to put in motion within like 6 months to get this thing up and running. And we had money for the equipment. And we went, Harriet, you don't have a job right now. And Harriet knew how to raise money. She knew how to train people on the radio equipment. And she also knew how to just about everything that you needed. So the next day, literally, 2 days later was a deadline for a CPB women's training grant, which would be half of the salary would be paid by Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And so we wrote a grant application really fast, and we got the money. So people in Astoria paid half of Harriet's salary, and the grant paid the other half. Anyway, she located in Astoria, did a whole bunch of stuff to set it up, and she trained everybody on how to use the equipment. So that's why she was really insistent that there be a consistent, she was insistent that people be consistent in how they use the equipment, because it's very possible that you can ruin stuff by handling things poorly. So she did that, and I don't think, you know, the station would have, it was really great. And so I was her boss, because I was the manager at KBOO at that point. But really, it was like I could call her, you know, we get together like once a month to talk about what was going on. But she really did the job and was great. You know, she was super.
But I just wanted to say one other thing, and that is that during the time that I was manager, we were able to really beef up the station's emergency response, which I thought was a really important thing to do. Because I saw, even though I wasn't manager then, I saw that KMUN had really played an amazing role in 2007 when that, when all the power went out everywhere, the cell phones went out, everything was out. And KMUN, because we had a generator, stayed on the air. And so it was a real wake-up call that a little radio station like ours could play a really big, important role during a crisis. And so when I got into this position of being able to say, this is what we're going to do, I said, this is what we're going to do. And we started just paying attention to what was going on. If there were accidents, if there were storms, if there was flooding. And then the tsunami came in 2000. Was that, when was that, 11? And I was able to go on the air and talk to people about the fact that a tsunami was hitting Oregon and nobody knew what the heck to do. And so that was the feedback that we got from that was, thank you so much for being there. And thank you so much for being there during 2007. It just really fueled me to create protocols so that when something happens, those protocols kick in and KMUN goes on the air to help people. And KMUN, I think, is still doing that now. So I was really proud of that because I thought, wow, we have the ability to talk to anybody who has a radio for free, no matter what happens. And it was just a really powerful moment for me about something that KMUN could do for the community.
I just had a check-in with all the staff, and today Skylar, who's our news host, said how well he and Katie work together. They just have a synchronicity that is, they just communicate really well together. So it's Skylar's job to rewrite stories that come in from our news partnerships,
and then do the recordings that you hear on the air. And it's Katie's job to keep the news department really cohesive and to be a reporter. So she is reporting on things. And if you, her big thing that we're really proud of is the Jewel water situation. No one was reporting on that. She reporting on that made it get better. And what could you say better about news than for that situation to come to, you know, into people's awareness and then have someone do something good about it? They now have water they can drink in Jewel because of Katie. Wow. KMUN, I don't think, has had that kind of in-depth reporting available. And it's amazing. And I wanted to say something about Lisa and the newsroom. Things that Lisa set up are still happening in the newsroom at KMUN all these years later.
To Joanne's point about emergency response, in 07, all the communication was out. There was 27 ships in the ocean waiting to come in. There was, up in the river, there's probably as many ships waiting to come out. There's no communication between our office and Portland. How did we communicate? I walked up to the station every day and called Marine Exchange in Portland through the satellite or whatever it was. And literally through KMUN, the ships moved when the bar opened. Yeah.
That was retired bar pilot Thron Riggs with another example of KMUN's service during the big blow of 2007. We've been listening to the women managers of KMUN, Lisa Smith, Victoria Stapiello, Joanne Rideout, and Susan Peterson, as they were honored by the American Association of University Women. This is The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. And today is the first day of KMUN's Spring Pledge Drive. I have been a fan, and soon afterwards a supporter of KMUN, since the first time I tuned in some 30 years ago. It has been my honor for many years now to do a monthly program on KMUN. The rest of the time, I'm a listener. I love the community in KMUN, community in the programs and the people who produce them, the community KMUN serves, the community happenings and community members it covers, and the community that has rallied to support KMUN for over 41 years. This is our radio station, yours and mine, of, by, and for the community. And since it doesn't have commercials, it's yours and mine to support if and when we can. That's how we keep it thriving and for the community. If you can help with the Spring Pledge Drive, just call 503-325-0010 or give your support through the big red donate button at kmun.org. Thank you.